Hare Krishna. I can see and I also heard that many of you came yesterday and today. So those who just arrived in Ujjain, we extend our hearty welcome to all of you. Thank you very much for coming. We are very happy to receive you all here. And I hope you have a very wonderful time in Krishna consciousness and experience the joy of Krishna consciousness here for the few days that you'll be here. Tomorrow is Srila Prabhupada Memorial Festival. Tomorrow is the day when Srila Prabhupada arrived in America 41 years ago. It's the 41st Memorials Festival. It is very important that we remember Srila Prabhupada's extraordinary contribution to this world for the benefit of mankind and their spiritual progress. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give an inconceivable gift to the living entities of this age. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave something that Krishna never gave before. Anar pita charin chirat korunaya avatirna kalo. What Krishna never gave before, He came to distribute that in this age of Kali out of His causeless mercy. That gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was available only in the land of India. But Srila Prabhupada came and distributed that gift all over the world. And what is that inconceivable, most extraordinary gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Samarpayitum unnato jalarasan swabhakti shriyam. His own devotion, swabhakti. Shri. Shri is an opulence. The opulence of his own bhakti in unnato ujjalo rasham, in the most elevated and most brilliant mellow. That is jayo jayo jalo rasho sarva rasho sar parokiya bhave jaha brujete prachar. The ujjalo rash, the most brilliant rash, is the madhurya melo in parokiya rash. Parokiya rash is the loving relationship which is not within the conformity of social approval or social moral codes. The man-woman relationship has some social restrictions. Man and woman relationship is very strictly structured according to the moral codes. That is, a man and woman, in order to relate to each other, must be married according to the social custom, following the social customs. But there are some relationships when the relationship between man and woman is outside of marriage, not accepting the formality of marriage, that is called parokhya rosh, parokhya relationship. So Krishna's relationship with the residents of Vrindavan is beyond all those social norms and social restrictions. So that is the highest loving exchange. Now when that relationship is developed in the mundane platform between living entities, then that relationship is considered to be immoral. Because, as I mentioned, the relationship between man and woman demands this social approval of marriage. So that is the social expectation. But when that relationship is beyond marriage or out of marriage, then apparently it is inappropriate or immoral. But when it is a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we have to understand that there is no question of morality or immorality. The relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead under all circumstances is absolutely moral. So that is what Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan is establishing. Yes, if Krishna was an ordinary person, then Krishna's relationship with the gopis would have been immoral. But Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And his relationship with the living entities is beyond all these social considerations. The absolute relationship is the relationship with Krishna. And when this absolute relationship is not restricted or is not caring for any social moral codes, rather it is a out of spontaneous love for Krishna. A devotee's attitude in Vrindavan is that we can't help it. We just can't help but love Krishna. So that is the highest spiritual relationship. It doesn't matter who one is, where one is. It doesn't matter whether people are going to think bad about it, but my intense love is just drawing me towards Krishna. So that relationship is the highest loving relationship. And that is why Vrindavan is the topmost region of the spiritual sky. The spiritual sky also has its levels of elevation. The outer region of the spiritual sky, or the boundary of the spiritual sky, that region is Brahma Jyoti. Beyond Brahma Jyoti is Vaikuntha, and beyond Vaikuntha is Golok. Now why go? And in Golok, the relationship with Krishna is simply out of spontaneous love, which is known as prema. And that prema also has three different types. One type of prem or loving relationship is like that of friends. The friendship between friends is based on love. Then, higher than that is the loving relationship between parents and children. That is called parental love. And now even higher than that is the loving relationship between lover and beloved. Just like a loving relationship between a young boy and a young girl. So in Vrindavan, Krishna is that young boy, just about 15 years old. And the cowherd girls are also in their early teens. And Krishna's relationship with them is the highest loving relationship. So this Braja Prem, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to explain what this Braja Prem is. Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to make us understand the supremacy of this loving exchange. Now in other ages, this was not given. Even in Dwapar Yuga, when Krishna came and revealed his Vrindavan pastimes, he himself considered, how will people understand what this loving exchange is? What is the uniqueness of my Vrindavan pastimes? Therefore, Krishna decided to come as a devotee, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what is Mahaprabhu's gift? That is samarpaito munnato jalarasam shaubhuktishyam, the wealth of his own devotion in the most elevated, exalted and brilliant form. And in order to give that, in order to distribute that, Hari Purata Sundara Duti Kadamba Sandipita Sadarida Kandare Spuratu Vasachinandana. So in order to distribute that, Krishna came, assuming a molten golden complexion. Purata Sundara Duti Kadamba Sandipita. Krishna came assuming the complexion of Srimati Radharani and the mood of Srimati Radharani. So this Krishna is not just Krishna himself. This Krishna is Krishna combined with Radharani. Radha Krishna pranaya vikritir ladini shaktir ashmadekatmanubhuti bhubi pura deho bhedam vatoto. Radha Krishna, who were separate before, the potency and the potent, shakti and shaktiman, energy and energetic, now have become one. So this is the gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Srila Prabhupada took this and distributed all over the world. This is an inconceivable, unique gift of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Lord bestows His mercy more abundantly through His devotee. Therefore, what Srila Prabhupada gave is even beyond Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's gift. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, came and bestowed His mercy. His mercy became even more abundant when He came as a devotee. The Lord, as a devotee, distributed His mercy in the most wonderful way, in the most magnanimous way. But His devotee is even more magnanimous, and that is the greatness of Srila Prabhupada, and that is the uniqueness of Srila Prabhupada's gift. So that's why it's very important for us to remember Srila Prabhupada's unique contribution to this world and celebrate and rejoice Srila Prabhupada's appearance and Srila Prabhupada's distribution. So that's why we have organized this festival, the Prabhupada Memorial Festival. And when Srila Prabhupada is glorified, everyone feels satisfied. It's just like when the heart is satisfied, the whole body becomes satisfied. When the stomach becomes satisfied, the whole body becomes satisfied. Similarly, by glorifying Srila Prabhupada, by putting the glorification, offering the glorification to Srila Prabhupada, the whole society of devotees will become satisfied. So, thank you all very much for coming, and I hope you all are comfortably situated, and I hope all your needs are properly taken care of by our devotees. And if you have any difficulty, you can inform Ganga Narayan Prabhu, who is the temple president here, and or you can report to any of the local devotees. If you have any difficulty, we will take care. And so we are reading now from the first canto, 17th chapter. This chapter is entitled as Punishment and Reward of Kali. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 17, Punishment and Reward of Kali, text 30. Patitam padayor viraha kripaya dina vatsalaha saranyo navadhich shlokya aha chiram Hashan Iva. Patitam padayor viraha kripaya dina vatsalaha sharanno navadhichlokya aha chedam hasan iva. Patitam padayor viraha kripaya dina vatsala sharanno navadhichlokya aha chedam hasanniva patitam padayor vira kripaya dina vatsala sharanno navadhichlokya aha chedam hasanniva patitam padayor vira Mataji, okay, carry on. Mataji. Patitang, fallen, padayo, at the feet, viraha, the hero, kripaya, out of compassion, dinavatsalaha, kind to the poor, sharanya, one who is qualified to accept surrender, na, not, abadhit, did kill, shlokya, one who is worthy of being sung. One who is worthy of being sung. Aha, said. Cha, also. Idam, this. Hasan, smiling. Eva, like. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Parikshit was qualified to accept surrender and worthy of being sung in history, did not kill the poor surrendered and fallen Kali, but smiled compassionately, for he was kind to the poor. Please repeat after me. Maharaj Parikshit was qualified to accept surrender and worthy of being sung in history, did not kill the poor surrendered and fallen Kali, but smiled compassionately, for he was kind to the poor. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Even an ordinary Kshatriya does not kill a surrendered person. And what to speak of Maharaj Parikshit, who was by nature compassionate and kind to the poor. He was smiling because the artificially dressed Kali had disclosed his identity as a lower class man. And he was thinking him ironic. He was thinking how ironic it was that although no one was saved from his sharp sword when he desired to kill, the poor lower class Kali was spared by his timely surrender. Maharaj Parikshit's glory and kindness are therefore sung in history. He was a kind and compassionate emperor, fully worthy of accepting surrender even from his enemy. Thus, the personality of Kali was saved by the will of Providence. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtham Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranam Mami Hari Priye Bancha Kalpataru Bhascha Kripa Sindhu Bhai Vacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shribashari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Ram Ram Hare Hare Srila Prabhupada ki Kali is the ruler of this age, and this is the most degraded of all ages. It's most degraded because in this age, Kali destroys adharma, destroys dharma and establishes adharma. What is dharma? Dharma is the laws given by Krishna. Dharmam tu shakshad bhagavat pranitam. The laws given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is called dharma. Dharma actually means laws. Just as a king establishes the law for the benefit of the citizens, similarly, dharma or these laws have been given by Krishna for the welfare of civilized human beings. Civilized human beings are meant to follow these laws and make spiritual advancement. And what is the meaning of spiritual advancement? The meaning of spiritual advancement is to become surrendered to Krishna. Now, the first step of surrender is to abide by the orders or instructions. When Jai Shri Shri Gaurnitai Ki Jai, Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai, Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ki Jai. When we surrender, how do we display our surrender? Do we just say, oh, I am a surrendered soul, I am surrendered unto you? Is that sufficient? No. Surrender requires, the first requirement of surrender is to follow the instruction of the person. If I say, I am surrendered to somebody, but do not listen to what he says, then will it be surrender? No. So, the first symptom of surrender is to follow the instructions of Krishna. Abide by the laws given by Krishna, and that is called dharma. So, first symptom of surrender or the first aspect of spiritual life is to abide by the laws given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when we abide by the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then what happens? Then we get some benefit. We derive some benefits out of abiding by those instructions that have been given by the Lord Himself. So that is called artha. Dharma and then artha. In a literal sense, artha means wealth. So in a way we can say, when one abides by dharma, when one follows the rules and regulations given by the Lord and recorded in the scriptures, then he derives, he receives wealth, artha. And when one has wealth, then he can fulfill his desires. When one has money, he can buy anything he wants. So, that fulfillment of desire is called kama. And even after fulfilling the desires, when one sees that he is not really satisfied, then he says, then he thinks that his material nature is a place of suffering, let me get out of here. Moksha. So these are called chaturbarga. Dharma, artha, kama and moksha. But beyond moksha is surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. That dharma, as it has been, as we just discussed, is actually a superficial surrender, external surrender, not wholehearted surrender. But when we wholeheartedly surrender to the Lord, that is called bhakti submission to the will of the Lord. The first aspect of surrender in the form of following the regulations or religious principles is not a real surrender. It is a conditional surrender. I am following this instruction given in the scriptures simply for with an ulterior motive, not because of my submission to the Lord that I am following them, but I am following them simply for the benefit, for achieving what I actually want. So that's why dharma, just abide by, just to follow the principles of religion, is not the ultimate goal of life, but it is only the first step towards spiritual life. But Kali is so crooked that he will destroy even that aspect of dharma or that aspect of surrender. He will teach people that there is no need to follow these rules and regulations. There is no God. Why should you follow somebody who doesn't even exist? These are all just some fairy tales. These are simply in order to keep people under control. Some smart individuals have introduced these rules and regulations. But actually there is no need to follow the rules and regulations. The goal of life is to enjoy. And enjoy by any means. By hook or by crook. Beg, borrow or steal. Enjoy, because enjoyment is the goal of life. So this is what Kali proposes. There is no God. There is no supreme authority who is watching your action. Tell me, who is superior to you? Aren't you the greatest? So why should you submit to anybody else? That is what Kali proposes. And Kali introduces all kinds of sinful activities. Kali's commander-in-chief is sin personified. And this personality of sin is accompanied by six stalwart warriors. And those six stalwart warriors are lust, greed, anger, illusion, pride and envy. So with these six generals, the commander-in-chief, Sin, fights on behalf of Kali and introduces sinful activities everywhere. And as a result of that, dharma disappears from the surface of this earth. And adharma or irreligiosity is established everywhere. So, when Kali just came, Kali entered into this planet when Krishna just left this planet and the ideal king Yudhishthir Maharaj decided to retire and walk towards the Himalayas in order to give up his life. Actually, when Parikshit Maharaj became the king, Yudhishthir Maharaj retired and Parikshit Maharaj was coronated into the throne. At that time, Kali Yuga began. Kali entered at that time. But Parikshit Maharaj was so powerful that Kali could not really establish himself. He was trying to establish himself. And that is how Parikshit Maharaj actually saw him. He saw that this man, who is actually a Shudra, is dressed like a king. And he is torturing the bull, who is standing on three legs, who is standing on one leg. And his three legs are broken. And Kali is beating that fourth leg, trying to break it. And Kali was torturing the cow. So, when Parikshit Maharaj saw that, he became furious. Because to torture a bull and torture a cow is the worst form of sinful activity. And Kali dared to do that. So Parikshit Maharaj immediately unsheathed his sword and he wanted to slaughter, he wanted to kill Kali. Kali is a Shudra because in his nature there is no courage. A Kshatriya is courageous. And that is why it has been described that Kali is a Shudra but dressed like a king. Just by dressing like a king, one doesn't become a king. Even just by assuming the position of a king, one doesn't become a king. One has to be qualified as a king. Just like if somebody just puts on a white apron and puts a stethoscope around his neck, he may look like a doctor, but will he be recognized as a doctor? If a patient goes to him, will he be able to treat him? No. He may even sit in the hospital, in the cabin of a doctor, but still he will not be recognized as a doctor. He won't be able to perform like a doctor. So, that's what was the situation when Kali was confronted by Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj was, he unsheathed his sword, he pulled out his sword. Had Kali been a Kshatriya, then what he would have done? He also have pulled out his sword. He was dressed like a king, so he very much, he positively had a sword with him also. But he didn't know how to use the sword. He was simply dressed like it. He was simply wearing the dress of a Kshatriya and carrying the weapon of a Kshatriya. Just like a doctor may, a person who is not a doctor may dress like a doctor and carry a stethoscope. But will he be able to treat the patient although he has a stethoscope in his hand? No. So that was Kali's situation. So this way one thing we also understand that after all, our enemy, who is Kali, is a coward. It's a weak enemy. So we can very easily fight him and defeat him. Just as Parikshit Maharaj did. As soon as he pulled out the sword, what was the reaction of Kali?
He immediately fell at his feet. Please forgive me. Please don't kill me.
And later on we will see in Mahabharata or even in Srimad Bhagavatam how Kali, although was forgiven by Parikshit Maharaj, but he was so treacherous that the moment he got an opportunity, he got rid of Parikshit Maharaj. No gratitude. No gratitude whatsoever. Here is a person who forgave him. Instead of killing him, he gave him his life. Allowed him to stay in a place when he begged for some place in his kingdom. But how did he react? The moment he got the opportunity, he just struck him. So these are the characteristics of an ungrateful person. And we can also at the same time see the nature and characteristic of a noble person. Parikshit Maharaj was angry. He was extremely angry when he saw that the bull and the cow were being tortured by this person. He was about to kill him. But the moment this person surrendered to him, he just prahasanniva, he just smiled. He laughed at him. He smiled. That means we can see that although he was angry, but his anger immediately disappeared when this person surrendered unto him. And Parikshit Maharaj's mood, attitude was something like when, as Prabhupada is pointing out in the purport, that when somebody sees a joker dressed in a certain way, tries to threaten or do something. But the moment he realizes, after all he's a joker, he's a clown, then he just laughs at him. He just smiles. So that was how Parikshit Maharaj reacted. Although extremely angry, but as soon as he saw that after all he's a joker, he's not serious. So he smiled. And he said, okay, I'll forgive you, but the thing, the act that you have indulged in is intolerable, unbearable. We can't allow you to stay in my kingdom. But then Kali saw that the entire earth planet was under Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj's rule. Parikshit Maharaj was the ruler of the entire earth planet, including the ocean. So he thought, where shall I go if you banish me from your kingdom? Then Parikshit Maharaj gave him some places. The places of adharma. Meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex and gambling. But Kali saw that in his kingdom those activities also are not prevalent. So then he begged for some other place where he could live. Then Parikshit Maharaj gave him gold, the place where Kali could live. So this is how we can see the nature of a noble person. And how can develop such nobility? Because of his detachment. And how can one be so detached? Because he is a devotee. Only a devotee can display this kind of detachment. Time and time again we will see how noble a personality Parikshit Maharaj was. Especially when Parikshit Maharaj was cursed by the Brahmana boy, we can see what a great
personality he was. And why was he so great? Because of his attachment to Krishna and detachment to this material nature. When he heard about the curse, Parikshit Maharaj's immediate reaction was that when I was totally unable to protect myself, when I was in my mother's womb, the Supreme Personality of Godhead saved me. When I did not even have the consciousness to understand what was happening, what was going on, the Lord saved me, Lord protected me. So now that I have been cursed, I have to understand that now the Lord is also displaying His mercy upon me in the form of this curse. He is displaying His mercy upon me in the form of this curse that He is making arrangement for me to leave this planet. So this is the mood of a pure devotee or fully surrendered soul. Marobi rakhobi joichha tohara nitya dasa prati tua adhikara. Now, Parikshit Maharaj is teaching us how to depend upon Krishna, how to become surrendered to Krishna, how to be totally submissive to Krishna's will and not independently desire anything for our own benefit. He knows what is good for us and Krishna will make that arrangement. Like the parents, they know what is good for the children and they make that arrangement. Children doesn't have to separately ask the father, give me this, give me that. Actually that is inappropriate. If a child demands from the father, then that is not a good child. The good child is the child who simply depends upon the father's arrangement. So similarly, a pure devotee is a person who is completely dependent upon the Lord's arrangement. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nithai ki jai, Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai, Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan. So that is the sign of a pure devotee. And he sees under all circumstances how the Lord is protecting him. Parikshit Maharaj had shown us how to think, how mercifully the Lord is taking care of us. When he was in the mother's, he was considering, when I was in my mother's womb, I've been told that Ashwatthama, the enemy of my grandfather, tried to kill me by releasing the most deadly weapon, Brahmastra. But me and my mother were saved from that Brahmastra by the divine intervention of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that shows how caring the Lord is. Now, if such a caring personality wants me to die, why should I try to make arrangements to prevent that will of the Lord? So similarly, we can also consider, of course, Parikshit Maharaj was directly protected by the Lord when he was in the womb when he was in his mother's womb from Brahmastra. But we also can consider how the Lord is protecting us all the time. Like one wonderful way to consider that is
If we consider that the shape of this earth is round, and the earth is moving with a tremendous speed. And if the earth is round and if the earth is moving and we are on the surface of the earth, what would have happened? We would have been thrown into the space. But it's not happening because the Lord is made, Lord has made the arrangement, Krishna has made the arrangement to secure us on the surface of the earth, which holds us together through the gravitational pull. Now, if the Lord can take care of us in this way, why should we not have full faith, full confidence that He will protect us, He will take care of us under all circumstances? Even if death comes, He will take care of us. Why should we think that at the time of death, He will not take care of us? Why should we think that after death, He will not take care of us? Therefore, we simply have to cultivate this understanding that Krishna is the supreme well-wisher of all living entities, and He is protecting us, He is maintaining us. And He will continue to maintain us. When we surrender unto Krishna, then all the difficulties disappear. And the trouble starts when we try to take care of ourselves. When we try to take care of ourselves, we invite all kinds of difficulties. But when we surrender unto Krishna, we depend upon Krishna, then everything becomes so easy, so wonderful. And in this respect, we can consider the condition of a child. If the child wants to take care of himself, what will happen? If a little baby thinks that I'm not going to depend upon my father, I'm just going to take care of myself. Won't his endeavors to take care of himself become very strange and funny? So similarly, our endeavor to take care of ourselves is as ridiculous or even more ridiculous than that. The intelligent thing to do is just depend upon Him. The personality who is taking care of us in so many wonderful ways, why should we not depend upon Him? The personality who made such wonderful arrangements for our food, the personality who made so many wonderful arrangements for our drinks and water, a personality who has made such wonderful arrangements for the oxygen for us, why should we not depend upon Him, who is already taking care of us? Do we need any more proof that He is taking care of us? We don't need any more proof. We simply have to probe into those factors. How He is already taking care of us. Who is providing for all the food? We may say, well, the food I am buying with my own money from the shop. But where did the food come from? Where did the food come into the shop from? Did the shopkeeper grow the food, produce the food in his shop? Or did anyone manufacture the food in any factory? No. It is by the divine arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that we are getting the food. There is a seed falls on the ground, a tree comes up, and then there are fruits in that. So that's our food. And inside the fruit, there are seeds. And in those seeds, there are trees. An unlimited supply of foodstuff. A cow eats some grass and gives such delicious milk. And the cow, not only the cow gives the milk, then the cow also gives the calf, gives birth to the calf as a future supply of our milk. The water is there in the ocean, but that ocean water is not drinkable, and besides that, it's so far away. It's not possible for us to collect water from the ocean. And it's not possible for us to use that water for any purpose. We can't drink that water, we can't use that water for cultivation or irrigation. Because it's salty water. But Krishna made the arrangement, the water, the pure water in the form of water vapor, evaporates. And then it goes up in the sky, forms the cloud. Then those clouds are transported to different parts in the form of cloud. Those clouds are transported to different parts of the earth by the wind. And then that pure water, distilled water, comes down in the form of rain. Who made the arrangement? We are taking oxygen, giving out carbon dioxide. The whole earth, the whole atmosphere would have been filled with carbon dioxide, but that's not happening. The trees are taking the carbon dioxide and giving out oxygen. We are taking oxygen, giving out carbon dioxide. The trees are taking carbon dioxide and giving out oxygen. Who made this arrangement? So this is what we have to meditate upon. This is what we have to think very deeply. How Krishna is taking care of us. Just like Parikshit Maharaj, he saw this personality who protected him when he was in the mother's womb. And then Parikshit Maharaj, from that time on, when he came out of his mother's womb, whenever he would see a person, he would wonder, is it the personality who saved me? That's why his name was Parikshit. Pariksham means to examine. And he was always examining. He would see somebody and he would wonder, is this the personality who saved me? In this way, he was always remembering the the mercy of the Lord with a grateful heart. So similarly, we should also always remember the mercy of the Lord. Always try to remember the display of the mercy of the Lord with a grateful heart. And that is what going to increase our dependence upon the Lord and surrender unto Him. Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures are there simply to induce this inclination in us. How to recognize the mercy of the Lord and how to become surrendered unto His lotus feet. And that is the goal of life. Especially that's the goal of human life. As human beings, we must recognize how merciful the Lord is and depend upon Him with a grateful heart. And if we do that, if we can do that, if we can do that till the end of our life, then our life will be successful. Not only at the end of our life, but till the end of our life. We should not think that let me now think of other things, let me now be engaged in different other activities, and at the time of death I'll remember Krishna. No, that will not work. We can cheat the whole world, but we won't be able to cheat Krishna. In order to win the confidence of Krishna, We have to practice Krishna consciousness. We have to try to remember Krishna all the time. That is what is needed. And that's why we are here. That's why we have joined this con. That's why we are wearing the tilak and kantimala and chanting the holy name of the Lord. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Does anybody have any question or comment? Yes, Madhavendra.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj, for the class. Sometimes devotees say that Kali jumped into the golden crown of Maharaj Parikshit. Is there any certificate for that?
Well, if it is not in Prabhupada's books, and if Prabhupada didn't say that, we just don't accept it. Or there is no need to. There are some, there may be, but you know, I personally haven't read it anywhere. And our policy is very simple. If it is not in Prabhupada's books, or if Prabhupada didn't speak about it, let's not get into that.
As the story of Kali is gold, so Mataji was asking yesterday to ask you, if he is not asking directly, so Mataji should be a gold or not?
Yeah, Matajis can wear gold if they themselves surrender themselves completely to Krishna. Then whatever they wear also becomes Krishna's. Actually, it is also Vedic culture. In Vedic culture, a woman should look beautiful. That's the nature of a woman. She should look beautiful. And therefore, they wear jewelries and ornaments to beautify themselves. And ultimately, a woman should look beautiful to please Krishna. Like the gopis used to dress themselves very beautifully, just for Krishna's pleasure. Their nature is to attract, try to attract. But this tendency to attract should be only to attract Krishna. If they try to attract others, then it will become Maya. For Krishna's pleasure only. Then why gold? They can wear diamonds, rubies. Any other question?
Tricky one. If you take it one step further, sometimes if you want...
Give the microphone to...
I think I should beg forgiveness for asking this question. This is going to be a very controversial. We say that to please Krishna is good, but it is better to please his devotees. So we might think that I may not be able to attract Krishna, but why not attract his devotees?
Yeah. Well, thank you for the question, Radha Krishna Prabhu. Yeah. You see, the way to please Krishna and the way to please his devotees is not, the method is not the same. The goal is to please, but the method is different. And the way to please devotees is not by attracting his senses, but by following his instructions. And what the devotee says, the devotee never says that you look beautiful for my pleasure. But you look beautiful for Krishna's pleasure. Yes, we try to please devotees, and the only sense gratification that we can offer to the devotees is by offering them Krishna prasad. Once Prabhupada told me quite a few times that make sure that the devotees get nice prasad. And once Prabhupada very specifically told me that see that they get nice prasad, because that's the only sense gratification they have. To give them nice prasad. Make sure that they get nice prasad. Thank you, Radha Krishna. Any other question? Yeah, give it to her. Leela Madhavi.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, what is the relationship of husband and wife in the spiritual world? In Vaikuntha planets on Golok?
Yeah, there is in the spiritual sky also there are these husband-wife relationship, but there is no sex life. There is, like, you see, the energetic and energy, Shakti and Shaktiman, this division is there also in the spiritual sky. And since the living entities are also parts and parcels of Krishna, this concept of Shakti, Shaktiman is also there in the spiritual sky. So this togetherness is there. But the thing is, that togetherness is not based on physical relationship. We have to understand that it's a pure spiritual relationship. It is not like the material togetherness. In the material nature, since everything is based on body, therefore the relationships are also based through the body, or they try to find the meaning of the relationship through the body. But in the spiritual sky, it is completely different. In the spiritual sky, the entire objective, purpose for everyone is to serve Krishna. So that's what they're doing in the spiritual sky. That man-woman, husband-wife relationship may be there, but that is simply for the sake of serving Krishna. There is no individual consideration of pleasure. The only concern for pleasure is Krishna's pleasure. And especially in that's the basic. Anyway, since I started, I'll just tell. Especially in Vrindavan, that husband-wife consideration between the young boys and girls is simply to enhance the girls' love for Krishna. And what the husbands try to do, they try to stop them, or they try to come between Krishna and them. But what the girls do there, they push that aside and run towards Krishna. So this is how, just as the river, when the boulders try to stop the river, the progress of the river, the current of the river becomes stronger. Similarly, this kind of arrangements of obstacles are there in Vrindavan, simply to increase their love for Krishna. Yes, Radha Krishna Prabhu. Yeah, wonderful. Actually, I personally feel that the best part of the class is this question answer session.
Maharaj, since you are talking about Kali, you just now said that the husbands of the wife create obstructions so that the wife's love for Krishna increases and they go towards Krishna at a higher speed like a river.
Yeah. No, I mentioned that in the spiritual sky.
In the spiritual sky. But here, I'm just seeing that.
But here, the husband should push the wives towards Krishna.
No, I'm looking at a different angle.
Okay.
What I'm thinking is, Kali is trying to obstruct our progress in Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
So in one sense, it is helping us
right.
to increase our desire to love Krishna at right. a higher speed.
Yeah.
So one who has that desire,
exactly.
Kali is really our friend.
Hmm. Right. Right, that's true. Like that's how Parikshit Maharaj saw that. The Kali will create the situation of Adharma, but the other aspect of Kali is that the process of spiritual achievement has become very, very easy. Very easily one can achieve the highest spiritual levels, highest spiritual power. So we are thankful to Kali actually. And Kali also knows that this Brahmana boy is going to create havoc in his kingdom. But he also has to do his duty according to his nature. You know, it's his nature to promote Adharma. That's why he is the ruler of this age. If Kali was a Shuddha Sattvic personality, then Krishna wouldn't have appointed him as the ruler of this age. Thank you. Yes. Dwarkadhish.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj, for a wonderful, nice class. So in the beginning you mentioned about Ulna Tujvala Rasa Bhakti Shriya, the conjugal love. In other sampradaya, Guru Maharaj, this love, this conjugal love concept,
actually, yeah. Actually, some sampradayas, like for example Nimbarka Sampradaya, have this concept of Krishna's Madhurya concept. Also, Ballava Sampradaya has some of this. No, Ballava is mostly Vatsalyaras. They're not much. But actually Nimbarka Sampradaya has a claim like that. But we have to understand that they took it from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In their Sampradaya, Nimbarkacharya didn't introduce it. Right? Kumaras didn't introduce it. So, when they claim that they are actually also accept this Radha Krishna's conjugal relationship in Vrindavan, we have to understand that they took it from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's unfair the way they took it. Without giving the recognition to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are doing it. That's why they won't derive any actual benefit. The Lord Himself comes to distribute. And when you receive it, be thankful to the Lord. Why try to disregard His gift? In a similar way, I would also say that today some people are going to the West trying to preach Krishna consciousness without recognizing Srila Prabhupada. The personality who had been sent by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to achieve that mission, when you don't give him the recognition, what does it actually indicate? It indicates an ungratitude. Ungrateful attitude. So, a gentleman, a person in his right consciousness, will naturally be grateful. Instead of competing with ISKCON or instead of competing with Srila Prabhupada, they should submit to Srila Prabhupada and become, join hands with ISKCON and carry on with the wonderful propagation mission. Okay, thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna. For the purpose, Prasadam will be in the